You're listening to That's Life here at the Nahum Segal Network, and a lot has taken place since we spoke last week. Last Thursday, in Cedarhurst Park, there was an incredible rally. An incredible rally. It was pulled together in probably about a little more than 72 hours, and the overflowing crowd literally spilled out into every corner of Cedarhurst Park. And it was spearheaded both by the leadership of the Young Israel Woodmere, and a shout-out to Rabbi Shalom Axelrod, and by the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And the Eastern Director of the Simon Wiesenthal Center is Michael Cohn. He joins me this morning. And I am very excited to welcome Michael to the show, not just because I want to thank him personally for making last week happen, but I want to talk to Michael, and we will discuss with Michael how to move ahead and make other events like last Thursday happen even more frequently. Michael, good morning.
Hi, how are you? And thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Absolutely my pleasure. Michael Cohn joins me. He is the Eastern Director of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, a global human rights organization confronting anti-Semitism, hate, and terrorism, training tens of thousands on prejudices, diversity, and tolerance issues, and supporting the State of Israel. Michael, I mean, I'm not sure how long you've been with Wiesenthal, but in your tenure at Wiesenthal, how many times have you seen a quick rise in anti-Semitism as you have seen in the last 2 weeks?
Well, I think there's a difference in this rise. You know, we saw in 2019 that people were seriously concerned when you looked at, you know, both around the tri-state area, the amount of swastikas, the amount of all kinds of physical things, but not necessarily against individual people. And you remember you had the situation against the shooting in Jersey City. You had the incident in Muncie at the rabbi's house in Hanukkah, over Hanukkah, with
right.
the knifing. You had Rise of Ocean County down in Lakewood and those areas, coming and attacking all over social media and at local council meetings. But those were, one shots in a lot of places all at the same time. You didn't see individuals on the street just because they're wearing a yarmulke getting beat in the way Joey Borgen did and other folks that's happening right now in that way. So I think one of the reasons that you're seeing our community really react in this way is the volume, the amount of time and proximity to each other, and the fact that it's our neighbors, it's our friends, it's the people we know in our local shuls and schools that we're seeing being affected and attacked. And that's not something we're going to stand for.
No, that is certainly not something we're going to stand for. And I do want to thank you personally for your heroic activism last week, and in terms of moving at light speed with Rabbi Axelrod to get last week's rally done. I mean, you must have been proud of the outpouring of support and the behavior of the crowd that we saw Thursday night.
No, absolutely. And I first and foremost want to join you in really saying a big, big thank you and yesh koach to Rabbi Axelrod. We really partnered wonderfully, and this could not have been done without his extraordinary efforts. So really, we shall recognize his efforts as well. This whole situation was put together, as you said earlier, in about 3.5 days.
Hmm.
And it was a little bit of a risk at first, because the last thing you want is to bring out the kind of high-powered elected officials and community folks and leaders that we need to influence and not have that kind of crowd. But the reality is our community showed that where our mindset is right now. Official estimates that we had were over 4,000 people
yeah.
came, and that it was the largest gathering ever in the history of that park. And this is a park that we know has concerts, has other issues all the time. So that be the largest gathering in that park ever, and by a lot.
Right.
That shows something. And, one more thing, when you talk about the behavior, a lot of the calls that Rabbi Axelrod and I had to have, were on security matters with all the security entities in the Jewish world, and also with the Nassau County Police Department, who deserve a tremendous, tremendous thank you. And you saw we had mounted police. We had the towers. We had streets closed off. And in the end, what our community demonstrated was that when we rally and when we do these kinds of things, it was there, and we're thankful that it protected us. But from what we did, the behavior of the folks there was fabulous.
Right. Right. 100%. And also, Michael, we must stress this point. This is what activism looks like. Activism is not thuggery and gang-like behavior throughout Manhattan. That's not activism. That is hoodlumism, if I can make up a word. That is reprehensible behavior that gets nowhere for any, for whatever your beliefs are, for whoever you think you're representing. That's not how to be active. Behaving properly, showing respect to the police, standing in silence, for a moment of silence for people who gave their lives for this country before Memorial Day, everything that happened Thursday night at that park, that is activism.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that, you know, is always a concern in our community is listen, thank God for many years, we've all taken comfort in knowing that, thank God, we live in a relatively good situation in the United States. In the history of the Jewish world, it's one of the best situations we've ever had, and we need to show our gratitude to that, which is, you know, why we opened with having the head of the Nassau County Police do the Pledge of Allegiance and things of that nature, recognizing that. But we also got to realize that, you know, at times like this, you know, it's not for us to sit on our hands. And yes, we have great leadership in the Jewish community throughout. But the reality is leadership can only do so much if they're not leading anybody. You have to make sure that when we bring out, you know, when elected officials are brought out, when the people that we need to influence are brought out, we need to show them that we cannot be ignored. And, you know, one of the things I heard early on was, well, how many elected officials are going to be there? Because we don't want to hear political speeches. And part of what we had to communicate was, it's not, you know, they want to come and speak and we want to respect them. But we also want to make sure that when they see over 4,000 people, 4,000 of their voters, of their constituents, coming out and saying, we will not tolerate this anymore and you need to do something now, they see that and they recognize it and they remember it. And that is so critical. The fact that every one of them was commenting about the crowd, about the fact that every one of them was wowing it, the fact that every one of them recognized that they have never seen this kind of outpouring of support and activism before demonstrates exactly where all our heads are at. And that's so critical to us accomplishing next steps.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. But the only thing I would argue, Michael, is that we haven't heard from all of our leadership, have we? We have plenty of Jewish leaders, national Jewish leaders, who are silent. And that's why, in my opinion, you have, number one, the shock by the elected officials who are there. And the political heavyweights who have not spoken up, who have not said anything either, who have been silent. It's shameful. That's why the people who were there, the political officials, in my opinion, who were there on Thursday were shocked. Because, number one, if our leaders aren't yelling, then we have no one as followers. We have no one to follow. And so I think that Thursday was such a statement on so many levels. Number one, you have 4,000 people plus who were ready, who were at the ready to stand up and say, no, we will not allow this. That's why we all showed up, because you and Rabbi Axelrod led. And that's why Thursday was so important to me, because on a micro level, on a community level, we are standing up and, number one, saying, no, this is not tolerable. But we're also pointing fingers at other leadership who haven't stood up like you and Rabbi Axelrod, who are, I don't know where they are, frankly. But we need more Michael Cohns and we need more Rabbi Axelrod so that we, as followers, can follow you.
Well, I'll just say, you know, we all, you know, growing up in the area, you know, thankfully being surrounded by great mentors and great people who have led in previous generations that I grew up around, you know, that's the influences that matter. And right. We need to be able to show our next generation. You know, I look at my children who I made sure were all there, mm-hmm. because they need to see that it is their social responsibility to be active. We cannot assume that things are going to happen. We cannot assume that things all happen behind the scenes. Things happen behind the scenes when you show the kind of power that we showed Thursday night. And we need to continue showing that kind of power. And rest assured, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, myself and all of its leadership and Rabbi Axelrod, this is a first step. We will not be silent. We will have our voices heard. we will make sure to work respectfully and with whomever the powers that be need to be to move things in the way that we need to. But you know, if there's a need for leadership, if there's a need for anything, you know, on the spectrum, you know, whether it's the lowest of the low or the highest of the high, there's no ego. There can't be any egos here.
Correct.
We have to work together. You know, we have to be a part of this. And one of the things that we loved is seeing, you know, how often did you see the different parts of the Jewish community working together on a thing of this nature? I mean, you're talking in the spectrum of having, you know, folks like Hafter and Darche and Halb and Rambam all working together and South Shore and others.
100%.
And that unity is what we need to show that we all understand that it doesn't that you know. Unfortunately, when you know, the old saying goes is when Hitler was looking for Jews, he didn't ask you what your political persuasion was or what level of religiosity you were.
Right.
You were Jewish, and that's all that mattered. And we need to make sure that when it comes to fighting anti-Semitism, they're attacking us all, and we all need to be fighting together.
So true. So true. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network. I'm joined by Michael Cohen. Michael is the Eastern Director of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, global human rights organization confronting anti-Semitism, hate, and terrorism, training tens of thousands on prejudices, diversity, and tolerance issues, and, of course, supporting the State of Israel. Michael's also a regular columnist with the Jewish Standard and the Jewish Link on issues facing the Jewish community, and he serves on the Israeli Consulate Speakers Bureau, the Hadassah Speakers Bureau, and was appointed by New Jersey Governor Murphy as a member of the New Jersey Israel Commission. And as he mentioned, he is the father to six children and the husband to Ilana. Those roles, by the way, I would argue, and I'm sure he would also, that those are more important than anything else. Because, yes, it is true, Michael, you're 100% right. And this point has to be hit home as well, that we need to serve as role models for our children as to what being active and opening your mouth looks like. It's so important. And I think that people become overwhelmed by what they see as the complexity of activism. How do I do it? Where do I start? Is it difficult? Is it, you know? And instead, everyone just needs to take a step back and say, guess what? In 2021, we have figured out how to Zoom absolutely everything. So there has to be a way for me to advocate, both for me as myself as a Jew and my community and the State of Israel, without leaving my home. Because let's be honest, Michael, not everybody wants to go to a rally, right? They don't. So let's discuss for a second what advocacy looks like, both on an immediate personal level and on a big level.
And you're entirely right. And part of what it is making sure that we always have next steps and have an ability for individuals when they ask, what can I do, that we have a good, solid, productive answer for them.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we did at the rally, which Rabbi Axelrod and I had worked on, and the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Young Israel Woodmere, institutionally, we made sure that we announced that night a petition that had, very simplistically, we didn't want to get too complicated because, you know, people aren't going to read so much. It was a question of getting a simple petition saying what the rally's messages were, which is, first of all, you know, which is very simple. We are not going to tolerate anti-Semitism, and we expect our leaders in both elected in government office and in corporate America to be there and have our backs. And, you know, the petition has 2 points. One is strengthening the criminal justice legislation to make sure that whether it's law enforcement or our communities have the power and the tools necessary to help combat this. And two, to make sure, one of the important points is making sure that we can go to corporate America when it comes to the platforms and social media who you see, especially during COVID, who are instigating, whether it's lone wolves or hate groups, who are constantly trying to forward, you know, matters of hate, matters of trying to attack, and making sure that these kind of messages of hate are taken down and are not allowed to be up there. And anti-Semitism has to be recognized by them as hate. You know, we want to fight racism, bias, and every kind of hate, but anti-Semitism has to be part of that conversation. And, you know, and both of those things are on that petition. I believe as of yesterday, we were already at 7,000 signatures.
Amazing.
But obviously, we need to get that number up. So doing a 2-minute click on a change.org website to the link that's been sent out through every one of the co-sponsoring institutions. And there are 30 or 40 co-sponsoring institutions here. We're not talking about just a few.
Right.
You know, we need to be keeping those numbers up and showing our elected officials and showing our you know, the kind of places in corporate America that we patronize, that we're not going to let up. And then we have the tools to say, this was not just a rally. Now you have not just 4,000 people coming out to a rally, but 10, 20, 30,000 people signing something saying, we are not standing for it. What are you going to do about it? And come up with ideas on what they can do about it as well. You know, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, for instance, you know, right now we work with the New York City Council in New York on doing combat hate digital workshops in the New York City public school system. You know, we're doing, I think, 120 or so programs since in the last 3 months. And we've done those programs in Hafter. We've done them in some other schools in the five towns and schools throughout the region and schools in throughout the country as well. But it's also making sure that people understand and kids understand, and especially our kids who are you know, as a father of having six kids in the house, knowing the attraction of social media and of all these sites and gaming systems, to make sure they're aware that these things are not okay,
right,
and that there are ways to deal with it, and that they should report it, and they know who to report it to, and that they also understand if they want to do such things themselves or bully themselves, that people are watching,
right,
and that these things create a social imprint which will follow you the rest of your life, and there are consequences to hate.
Education is so important.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're fighting every day on the education front and the activism front. Because you can't have one without the other. They both have to work simultaneously.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Education has always been at the forefront of advocacy and explaining, you know, where people are going wrong and how their behaviors and the words that come out of their mouths influence opinion. I mean, you have God knows how many people who have massive followings on Instagram because they're social media influencers or because they're models or because they're spokespeople, and they don't realize how what they are saying is inspiring and encouraging hatred. And so when Mark Ruffalo posts an actual apology last week for using such an inappropriate term regarding what was going on in Israel and the conflict, when he takes a moment to apologize, that to me is a huge win and a huge push for continued education. Because by encouraging education and educating people who don't understand what they're doing, we can win this battle.
And just to circle back to the education component, a lot of people, I know it's been going viral, and you know, and myself and the Wiesenthal Center are engaged in the issue of what happened in Tenafly over the weekend, or right before the weekend.
Right.
You know, for those who don't know, there was a fifth grade student, and I know I have a fifth grader in my house. My daughter's in fifth grade. You know, I know what it is to do homework with a fifth grader. But a fifth grader, not that I can handle the math of a fifth grader. That's beyond
me neither, buddy.
Yeah. But thank God my wife is there. A fifth grader was given, the whole fifth grade was given a character development project, believe it or not. And they were supposed to find historic figures whose character they wanted to emulate or that they thought was recognizable as something altruistic, and look at their skills and their character and how they fulfilled their goals. And this, keep in mind, had to be each person they came to present had to be teacher approved. Well, one fifth grader decided to pick Adolf Hitler. Now, first of all, how a teacher allowed for that to continue and approve is beyond my comprehension to begin with.
Right.
Granted, I do have to give credit to the superintendent who immediately started an investigation into the whole matter and the teacher. So we are awaiting, and we are in communication with them, and we are trying to see what's happening with that investigation. And we're in communication with the mayor of Tenafly also, trying to see where we can be helpful. But this student ended up writing about the amazing organizational skills about Hitler's ability to, you know, so systematically kill 6 million Jews.
Ugh.
Now, you'd think it would end there, except we all know what it's like coming on parent-teacher conference nights and having our kids' stuff posted on the school walls.
Ugh.
Well, they decided to post this on the wall alongside the other projects. Now, the only thing I can see as a positive there, always looking for a positive in these situations, is other teachers, because there is a 40% Jewish amount of students in that school system, noticed it and obviously went to the appropriate authorities and reported it immediately, without which we wouldn't even know about this. So in a way, you know, thank God it got posted so that it would get noticed and we can do what we have to do. But to think that from an educational standpoint, a fifth grader, the teacher, And presumably, you know, I'm assuming, you know, you'd work on a fifth grade project. I know my daughter would not be working on a fifth grade project of that sort and complexity without parental assistance. Mm-hmm. But to think of how many checks there were there.
Right.
And for everybody to think that this was okay in our society, it just shows you the depths of education that we need to have.
Right. 100%. And, you know, with just a few minutes left, because unfortunately, while I could speak to you for the next hour, we don't have that kind of time, Michael. but in discussing education, because you're discussing it on a fifth grade level, we need to discuss it in terms of college campuses. And I know that from your bio, you're a Brooklyn College grad, and I went to Brooklyn College for graduate school, and I could not be more disappointed and frankly disgusted by the outpouring of hatred on the CUNY campuses. Now, they're not alone in their, shall we say, environment or atmosphere. It is rampant on our college campuses, this anti-Israel, I'm going to use the term anti-Zionism because that's the term they use, but we all know what it is. It's just anti-Semitism. If you hate Israel, you hate Jews. It's just that simple. And guess what? I'm not a mathematician either, but it's the same thing. 2 + 2 really does equal 4. So let's talk about what is going on our college campuses and how the Wiesenthal Center is working to combat that.
So first of all, you know, and you're 100% right, the college situation is one which is critical. Because also, you know, we have to realize that when you have anti-Semitic organizations, you know, on campuses teaching, and you're seeing the organizational things that are happening by Students for Justice in Palestine and other groups, listen, to their credit, they've learned how to organize well.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to recognize that and realize what we're up against and organize, you know, in such a sophisticated manner ourselves to be able to push back. You know, the Simon Wiesenthal Center does have a very effective team on the ground on college campuses. You mentioned CUNY, but I'll tell you, we'd be remiss if what we didn't talk about in college campuses is what's happened over the last week and a half or so in Rutgers.
Oh, my God, crazy!
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, though, this is not a one-shot. And first of all, I want to really, thank Andrew Guttrier, who's the head of the Rutger Hillel, for them putting out an amazing statement about coming after Rutgers, and finally putting pen to paper and showing that this is not a one shot at Rutgers. It's over and over and over again.
It's systemic.
Let us remember that before these statements were made here, that just a few weeks ago, well, maybe 10, 12 weeks ago during Yom HaShoah, you had the AEPI chapter on campus egged.
Right.
Okay, this is and crickets when you ask the administration about it. Crickets.
Right.
You know, you don't hear a thing. And then remember also, it was about 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago with COVID, our timelines are all messed up. So you keep on trying to remember how many years it's been. But I think it's been about 2 or 3 years. When Wiesenthal sat with Andrew and with the other leadership on the Rutgers campus, and keep in mind, Rutgers has over 6,000 Jewish students. I believe it's the largest amount of Jewish students at any college campus in America. They also have the physically largest Hillel building, which is only a few years old. So this is not a school which doesn't understand that there are Jews there.
Right.
So you look at that, and you remember that you had a professor about 3 years ago who started posting all kinds of anti-Semitic posts, you know, on his social media websites, on his Facebook websites. And there's a professor with Jewish students in his class, which was followed by swastikas being found on campus from his inspiration.
Hmm.
So what did we do? We ended up saying, you know what, best way when the college, you know, and everybody was trying to talk to the administration and have conversations, and so did we. Finally, you know, I said, and the Wiesenthal Center said, enough is enough. We've had enough conversations. Nothing's happening. It's enough. It's a publicly funded college. We are not going to let our taxpayer dollars pay for anti-Semitism. And we actually, myself and Rabbi Cooper for the Wiesenthal Center, have an op-ed in the Jewish Link this week entitled exactly that. But what you saw is we have a mobile exhibit, which is a 28-panel exhibit demonstrating the history of the Jewish people to the land of Israel over 3,500 years. And it's a 28-panel specific exhibit, which we co-sponsored and co-did with UNESCO. Now, everybody's probably shaking their heads and saying, with UNESCO?
Right.
Really? But the fact is, the Wiesenthal Center is an NGO with the UN and at UNESCO, and we were able to, even though we had to go through, I don't even know how many times of them attempting to correct and this and that, at the end of the day, if their researchers couldn't oppose it, we were able to get it through. So we had that exhibit on display in the new Hillel building throughout the downstairs of the main entrance hall of the Hillel building. We invited every possible elected official in New Jersey government that has a role in funding Rutgers. We had Senate Majority Leader Loretta Weinberg. We had Gary Scher. We had the local assembly people. We had Gordon Johnson. We had so many great elected officials there. And we all stood on the Hillel steps, and we invited the administration. And they all said, you know, let's have a grand opening on showing right now how the connection between Israel and the Jewish people, while these professors were saying the exact opposite, and made the administration come and made them be there. And you can imagine administration not saying a word after posts like that, having to stand there and having all these elected officials say, stand with us right now to a Simon Wiesenthal Center exhibit opening about the history of the Jewish connection to Israel over 3,500 years. I am sure he'd rather have been in a million other places. But it made a statement that the elected officials that fund Rutgers will not tolerate it. And if we have to hit them in their pocketbook, well, so be it. And right now, we are in negotiations and talking to members of the legislature right now, because we're in budget season in New Jersey, and seeing what else can we do now to, right again, use what they're doing now and hit them again. Because at some point, you know, Rutgers, and there are a lot of folks in my own community and everywhere else who go to Rutgers and love the school, but they have to make sure that our Jewish, that the Jewish students in the school feel comfortable, can wear their yarmulke with pride if they so choose, can join an Israel, pro-Israel club if they so choose, and can be proud of who they are just like anybody else.
100%. 100%, Michael. So well said. We didn't even get to talk about the head of diversity at Amazon and his being, shall we say, moved to a different department as a result of his anti-Semitism and his posts. We haven't even gotten to that. We haven't gotten to talk about so many other things. We haven't gotten to plug the Unite for Israel parade in Teaneck this Sunday. And we haven't gotten to my personal favorite, being able to thank Laura Curran, who's the Nassau County executive, who I think is an absolute hero. She is Wonder Woman. On National Wonder Woman Day, Laura Curran is Wonder Woman. I think she's incredible. We haven't gotten to all of those things, but unfortunately, Michael, you and I are out of time. But I have to tell you, I love the fact that you are just as fired up as I am, because this is enough.
And I just want to, you know, I think we just, you know, all of us collectively really thank Joseph Borgen and the Borgen family.
Absolutely.
You know, after that kind of trauma, for them to stand on that stage, to stand there and speak and be there to lead, God bless them.
Oh, 100%. By the way, he was eloquent, he was articulate, and he was strong. He wasn't standing up there cowering. He was standing up there with his yarmulke on, and he was being so honest as to his personal vulnerabilities and his personal fears. We need to stand behind the Joey Borgens out there.
And you know what was great? Seeing my good friend Jessica Corey, who's the commanding officer
of
the NYPD Hate Crimes Task Force, speaking right after him, showing that NYPD has our back, too.
And by the way, we have their backs as well. We need to support our police.
So saying that she was there, you know, on this kind of issue. And, you know, she visited him at the hospital that night, too.
Wow.
So we have a really good friend there. So I just wanted to give her a quick shout-out, too.
100%. Michael Cohn from the Simon Wiesenthal Center, again, thank you so much for your time. This has been wonderful. Continued great work on behalf of the Jewish people.
Thank you so much for this and for all you do.
My pleasure. You've been listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network.